All right, this is Matt from Three Count Thursday. We're recording another interview for the website as we continue to be quarantined. We are trying to bring you guys some more content, and we are fortunate to be joined by Stella Gray this evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, all things considering. Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. Staying safe, wearing a mask if you go out, all that good stuff, correct?
Yeah, I'm kind of a hermit as it is, so I don't go out that often. Like, my normal daily life hasn't changed that much, but not being able to, like, go outside and go to stores or the beach or stuff like that, that's where it's hindering me right now. But I can't complain. It's really not that bad. It's not like we're in World War II, so
right.
It's all perspective. I try to keep that mentality.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm fortunate enough to work from home, so I do count my blessings, but so we'll launch right into it here. As a wrestling podcast, we definitely have a few generic wrestling podcast interview questions that we ask, and one of them is always the first one. So just when did you become a fan of wrestling? Like, was there a specific wrestler or company that kind of drew you in? But what age were you, and who was that person or that company, if so?
It's like one of my first, like, childhood memories, I think. I don't even know how old I was, God's honest truth. But I have two brothers, and one of my brothers was really big into wrestling. And so I was just walking by his room the one night, and he had ECW on. Okay. And I'll never forget it. It was a match. It was a tag match. It was Beulah McGillicuddy with Tommy Dreamer against Rob Van Dam and Fonzie. And I think knowing the history of it, I think Rob Van Dam got bad. So Tommy and Rob Van Dam kind of, like, just stopped wrestling. And then the match just turned into Beulah versus Fonzie. And if anybody knows ECW, it's a very, like, bloody kind of match. Mm-hmm. And Fonzie was just covered in blood, and she was beating the crap out of him. Like, it wasn't a technical wrestling match, but to my little eyes, I thought, wow, a girl can beat up a guy and win. I've never seen anything like this. And so I asked my brother, I'm like, what is this? And he's like, oh, this is ECW. And that was it. Ever since then, I was hooked. I was like, I love it. And I started watching it and becoming very obsessed. My parents were not happy about it, but I was an obsessed little Philly child with ECW.
It's actually really awesome that you picked that specific match, because a couple days ago, as the podcast, we recorded an episode talking about the Women's Revolution, and one of our hosts, Ryan, talked about how the Women's Revolution for him started watching Beulah McGillicuddy in ECW. So it's cool to hear that she was what kind of drew you in as well, because for him, that was like the tipping point of, like, wow, women in wrestling is kind of awesome, and we need to see more of this.
Yes. Like, it's, if you look back at, like, the highlight reel of women in ECW, you're not going to really see them in the ring wrestling. It's probably they're more look like managers and skimpy little outfits, or like the infamous highlight video of Kimono Wanalea and Beulah, like, cat fighting in the ring. And, like, but there were some moments, and I don't know, but there's so, female wrestling or women's wrestling has been around forever. I don't know why I don't, just that stuck out to me. I don't know why I never noticed it until then, but I don't know. That was the thing, though.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, growing up then in Philly, being, like, accustomed to, like, ECW, kind of the staple in Philly. Myself, I'm from Lancaster, so not too far off, but that's kind of what I grew up knowing as well. So as you got more involved into actually being in the ring, did you kind of want to embrace that hardcore style that Philly seemed to bring, or were you looking more into, like, the technical side of things once you decided to be a wrestler?
Well, I don't know. I can kind of go either way. So part of me, when I started training, it beats the living crap out of your body. When the first week of you training as a wrestler, oh, you pray for death. You pray for anything to take away the pain. So imagining adding, like, chairs and barbed wire, that is very daunting when you first start out. But I remember when I was training and I was doing ring crew, and we went to the ECW arena. It's called 2300 Arena Net, and they paint like the bathroom like with the old ECW barbed wire logo. That made me want to be like, I'm from Philly. I came into this, like, became a fan because of this company. Like, one day I have to have a hardcore match in this arena. I'm like, it's one of my goals that I have to do it. So I didn't become a wrestler to be like a hardcore wrestler. I just love wrestling. I don't know. Like, part of me is a little, like, I am a little scared of it. Anybody who isn't, I think, is a liar. Like, it's weapons. You're going into a wrestling right. match with weapons. The fact that they did it every week on TV just shows how really crazy they were and how much they completely sacrificed their bodies for the fans. So, yeah, I think I need to, like, callous my body a little more before I do that match. So, we'll see.
For sure. So, and here's another generic wrestling podcast question for you, but we always kind of like to talk about the trainer. So for you, was there someone that was recommended to you? Like, this is a training school you have to go to. Did you do your own research, or were you just like, hey, this person has a training school and it's like 5 minutes for me, so I'm just going to go here for now. But like, what went into like you choosing the trainer to start off?
Well, after ECW closed, like, I fell out of wrestling. I was such a hardcore fan where I'm like, well, if ECW's not around, then I'm not watching wrestling anymore. So that's how weirdo I was. So it wasn't until, like, I started hearing rumblings of ROH and CZW. And then I think NXT, like, I think, like, my friend's son was getting in wrestling, and so I would watch with him, and that's when I started hearing about like Sasha Banks and Charlotte, and I was like, wow, these girls are like pretty amazing, and like they were having legitimate matches. So that's what sparked my interest again. So I literally just Google it. I didn't have anybody in the wrestling business. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know that much about ROH. I just literally went online and Googled top wrestling schools in the country, and the number two was 10 minutes from my house, and that was the ROH dojo. But that was, yeah, I'm trying to think how many years ago that was, but I basically took that as a sign, like, if you really want to do this, you're an idiot, because the number two school is 10 minutes from you, so just go and see what it's all about. And yeah, I did that and never looked back.
So now, kind of, now that you are looking back, like, is there something that when you got in training, like, obviously you said, like, going through training, you just want to die. But is there, like, one thing that stands out to you now is, like, you look back and you're like, Jesus, I really struggled with this, but now it's just kind of, like, second nature to me? Or, like, something that, like, kind of came naturally to you going in?
Nothing came naturally to me. Nothing. Like, I know I, like, started doing DDP yoga thinking that would get me a leg up. It helped me with the yoga aspects, because the ROH dojo, they do like a boot camp for like a really, really, really serious boot camp for the first 2 weeks, where that is where you're praying for death. Or like, I remember I wanted to patent a bed made of ice, because I'm like, this would be so great for athletes, because like, you just don't want to move. And I couldn't move for God knows how long. But I lost my train of thought. But they do like a little bit of CrossFit, calisthenics, yoga, and a little bit of like the Japanese dojo, where you just do squat after squat after squat, jumping. It's just nonstop, and you're either going to throw up or pass out. But they just want to see who's there for the right reasons. Like, if you're going to quit within the first day, and they say a lot of people do, and I'm shocked I wasn't one of them, but yeah, it's all about conditioning your body, and they say it the first night, like, it seems very hard right now, but after you do it over and over and over again, your body will condition, you'll get used to it. So yeah, it seemed like it took me forever, but after you just keep training, it kind of just comes second nature to you, and your body does adapt. So, but yeah, I don't wish for those days.
Is that
all again?
Yeah, you don't look back on those days and revel in days past at all.
No.
So then when you were ready for your first match, the first question for that is like, did you feel ready, or was it just kind of like, hey, you're up tonight? And then, like, looking back now, like, do you remember all of it, or was just, is it just kind of a blur? Like, do you remember, like, the crowd reaction to you? Did you have anyone there to kind of support you? But, like, looking back on your first match, what all do you remember of it?
I kind of, like, it's hard. Like, I kind of think of my first match in three aspects. So my first kind of official match, but I don't feel like it was fully official. It was for Future of Honor, and it was at the ROH Dojo. So there wasn't a crowd. It was just being filmed for the YouTube channel. And it was just other wrestlers, who most of the wrestlers I was used to, like, training at the dojo with. So it didn't feel like a full show because there wasn't as much pressure. And then the very next day, I had my first official match, I guess you'd say. Oh, my God, I'm forgetting. It was for Jenny Rose's promotion called Aspire. And so that was a nice match because I was going against Jenny Rose, and then Mandy Leone was the referee. And so I had a couple of my family members come. So I was nervous. It was the dead of summer too. It was in a small, like, VFW. It was like 1,000 degrees.
fun.
I know. But, and I, my dumbass was wearing white leather jacket vest. That was my ring gear back then. So it looked cool, but you could not breathe in that. I just remember thinking, like, you're an idiot for thinking black leather and white leather was a good idea. I kind of remember that match, but not really. Like, I don't remember the crowd react. Yeah, I kind of don't. I remember getting kicked in the head, like, and thinking it was cool, but knowing it hurt. Like Jenny did this one cool move, and I do remember that one part. And I see pictures, but this all happened in a span of a week. Like, Future of Honor was on, I think, like, July, I can't remember the date. I want to say, like, 17th, and then, or 18th, and then Jenny Rose's show was the 19th. And then the very next weekend, I remember that Tuesday or Wednesday I was in training, and then Delirious was there. He's like, are you coming to North Carolina? And I said, yeah, of course I'm coming to North Carolina. It was a show. And he's like, okay, well, you're going to wrestle Karen Q. And I was like, and I literally was like, you're kidding, right? And he goes, nope. He's like, it's TV taping. He's like, you're going to make your debut. I was like, and I started panicking. And I was like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. He's like, I'm telling you, you're ready. So don't screw it up. And so I was just, so that I don't remember that match that well. I remember before the match and everybody in the locker room coming to me and telling me to calm down. Cause obviously it was pretty obvious I was having a panic attack. but I remember Jay White was making fun of me. I remember TK, his words of advice were, you need to calm the F down, otherwise you're going to hyperventilate and throw up in that ring or have a heart attack and pass out. I was like, cool, thanks. So, like, the guys kind of bust your chops a little bit, but I remember, like, but yeah, I remember more before the match, and I remember the double crossbody, because that just, we both hit each other in a weird way and I got the wind knocked out of me. So I remember that spot in the match, but yeah, no, it's just all the whole entire week is like a blur. It's just like little spots of memories that pop up.
So did you get any, like, good or bad feedback once that was done? Do you remember, like, that part of it coming back to the locker room and, like, hearing, like, hey, good stuff, or hey, this is what you need to work on at all after the first time?
That's the one good thing about Ring of Honor. There's always people at Gorillas, like, where everybody watches the monitors, like, what's being filmed. And, at least half the locker room's always by the monitors watching. But I remember as soon as I got back, who was the first person I ran into? I want to say it was Christopher Daniels. I'm pretty sure, because I think he knew, like, he was one of, like, the head, like, locker room guys, obviously. And I think he knew how scared I was because, the month prior, I did the ROH tryout, and he was one of the judges, and I did horrible at the ROH tryout. I think they were going to kick me out of the school and everything. So I was more scared to hear his remarks after my first match. And he, like, came up to me, he's like, it wasn't bad. He's like, you could tell you were nervous. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you can't show that you're nervous, though. He's like, you look like a scared cat as soon as you got in that ring. I was like, well, that's not a compliment that I want to hear, but he gave pointers, like, you need to be better at this, you need this wasn't, so everybody kind of came. I know The Briscoes, they were, I love the Briscoes so much. If anybody, like, I can't describe how great those people, those two guys are, but they came back and they always say, baby girl, like, baby girl, you did good. Calm down, baby girl. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then Jay White, again, was making fun of me. He was just, I can't even remember what he said. I remember I was like walking back to the locker room and he's like, I think he made fun of me because he saw that I messed up the crossbody. He's like, you landed. I was like, shut up, shut up. But yeah, it's kind of like you just finally breathe when it's over. You're like, whoo. But yeah, I don't know. Again, like it seems so long ago, which it kind of was. It was like almost 3 years ago. Something like that. It's nuts to think. Or 2 years, 2.5 years. I can't even remember. Seems so long ago.
Well, I mean, thankfully you didn't get kicked out because in my opinion and the opinion of Three Count Thursday, you've kind of always been like a staple since I've really gotten involved into Ring of Honor and then Women of Honor as well. So what has it meant to you to be such an important part of the company? Because, you know, there's such high praise heat onto the company, and you know, you're one of the people that I kind of like when I think Ring of Honor, Women of Honor, I think Stella Grace. So like, what does that mean to you to be involved with such a prestigious company?
That just threw me off. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. Like, I've never heard, like, if you think of Ring of Honor, you think of Stella Grace or Women of Honor. I'm like, really, you do? Just because I think of everybody that's come before me and the people that are still there, like, mm-hmm. Like Sumi's, she started training at the dojo, and I joke that Sumi's one of the nicest people in the world. Like, she is genuinely just wants everybody to be happy, and like,
yeah, but she, really, yes.
Yes, like she, and her voice matches her personality. She's like, hello, but she is trained in MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, she can legit break your arm off. So when I think of like ROH, I think of like Mandy, Sumi, Jenny, like Sarah Del Rey, and Daisy Hayes. So I don't know. I just like, if you went to the ROH dojo, you see like all the alumni in the dojo. So it's kind of, I don't know. Like, I know I'm very fortunate to be where I am because there's a lot more people that have worked a lot harder and a lot longer and haven't had the opportunities that I have. So I feel very fortunate. But with that, there's a pressure because I feel like I'm from the ROH dojo. There's a certain standard I need to uphold to. And that's why I was very upset at the dojo, at the ROH tryouts. I felt like I let the whole dojo down because I screwed up so badly. I don't know. I just think I'm very fortunate. And they're the ones, I feel like I was born and bred by ROH. So I don't know. It's kind of, maybe that's how I was like fanatic with ECW. Like once that closed down, I was like, I'm never going to watch wrestling again. That like, I'm like a ride or die chick. Like, that's how I describe it. Like, ROH is my ride or die. Because they've given me so much in my life. And they built me, like, not only just, like, athletically and the wrestler that I am, but the life that I have. Like, it really broke me out of my shell and made me the person that I am today. And it has to do with my trainers and, obviously, the locker room. But I don't know. I don't know about like the being like one of the staples of ROH. All I know is I'm fortunate to be included in that family. And because it is, the ROH like locker room is a family. I can't describe it. Like, I don't know. I'm just very lucky. So just to be considered in the same breath as ROH.
Okay. And and that's kind of a good segue into the next question here. Because I mean, you've come up on the East Coast. The East Coast is certainly no shortage of wrestling companies. Philly in particular has a ton. Like, if you want to go see wrestling on a weekend in Philly, not now, obviously, but typically, yeah. When things aren't locked down like they are, you can go and see wrestling in Philly or anywhere on the East Coast. So with you being on the East Coast, do you see that number of companies as a good thing just because there's so much opportunity? Or do you kind of wish that there was a little less just so you can build storylines like you see in Ring of Honor, Women of Honor?
That's a good question. I just moved to Virginia, so I'm no longer in Philly right now, but my whole family's in Philly, so it's not like I don't go back there all the time. So in Virginia, I don't know many companies down here. I know there's one, But I don't know how often they do shows, considering coming from like Philly and Jersey and New York, where I can't even count how many companies are in that tri-state area. Don't think it's a, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing, because I don't know. I feel like the way that I was trained, they always, and even at the ROH tryouts, they would always suggest to people, like, work at as many places as you can, go to as many various states, and wrestle as many various people, different styles as you can. It's only going to build you up as a better wrestler. So if you just stay in one place and wrestle the same people over and over again, you're not going to really grow as a wrestler and basically adapt and, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but evolve, I guess. I think it's kind of a good thing, because you never know who's the next person coming up and what style they have. And some people are like prodigies, like Eli Isom, who's in the ROH dojo. I think he started training a couple months after me, and he far surpassed me, because he can do flips, he can do high flying stuff, but he's super strong, he can do power moves. And I'm just over here like, I'm never going to be on this guy's level. So you never, if he was in a different state, you never know, like, the next guy coming in, what they can make you do. And I love, like, training with people like that. So, no, I mean, I feel like everybody has their own thing. I feel like it's, I don't believe in the big conglomerate. I'm not going to say certain who, but basically thinking they own wrestling. And that's, I think we've all realized that's not true. And I just think, listen, it's, wrestling's an art form, and it's meant for people to be creative and have an outlet, and it's for the fans to have an outlet from their normal days, and it's for wrestlers, honestly, to have an outlet on their life. And that's why I always joke, wrestlers are the nicest people in the whole wide, let me rephrase that, majority of the wrestlers are the nicest people to get our frustrations out of our everyday lives by beating the crap out of each other, when the normal human being doesn't get to do that. So that's why they're pent up and probably angry and stuff like that. But let's be honest, we get to live in a fantasy world where we get to get in the ring and beat the crap out of each other, and we get paid to do it. So it's kind of crazy, but I don't know. The more the merrier. I always believe that.
Let me just say, this is one of like the best interviews I've had, because you keep like segueing me into my next question. So the next question is, you talked about, like, you get to, like, wrestle as many people as you can, try out different styles. So as you go through your career, is there a particular style of match that you, A, either love more than the rest, and B, is there one that's on the bucket list yet? Like, before I hang up the boots for good, I want to be in a death match. Is there anything like that that is still on the list that you want to try out?
That's a good question. I do know I'm not known for high flying and stuff like that. I do know, like, I want to do some moves or matches like that. So I say, like, a kind of lucha match, but then I've had a lucha match, and the way Mexican wrestling rules, like, it was a tag match. Theirs is completely different than Americans. Like, there's no tagging, which completely confused me. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, basically you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. And I'm like, do we not pin? Do we not tag? I don't understand what's going on here. So
there's like, no rules.
There kind of is. Like, there wasn't. I remember if you asked my trainer, like any of the dojo guys, there was one point in the match where the ref was choking me. And I literally looked over to like my dojo guys. I'm like, what do I do in this scenario? Like, you're not allowed to touch the ref, but why is the ref choking me? Like, and I think it was me and Bonesaw, and we were the only two like English speaking wrestlers in the ring. And I was just like looking at her, even though she was my opponent, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I think all the rules just got thrown out, right? So I like lucha matches because I like high flying stuff, even though I don't know how to do much of that yet. But the Mexican rules of lucha, I don't think I can wrap my head around that. So, but there's stuff like you look at Will Ospreay, and he's a high flyer, but is he technically a lucha wrestler? I don't think so. So it's, I feel like everybody in wrestling kind of a little bit of different styles from all over the world, but Japan, I know I used to be scared to go to Japan, but I think that's just like the epitome of like wrestling, like modern day wrestling. I think everyone, if they don't, I'm calling bullshit and they're liars, because It's called Strong Style for a reason. You don't see as many matches like that in America. It's starting to be that way, I think, more and more. Maybe not on a certain cable network by a certain company as much, but other people, that's because it's fighting. It's supposed to be like you're fighting to the death. You're putting your all in it, not, I don't know, playing, I guess. But I thought training over here was intense. I know Japan is way more intense. I would like that idea, but the notion of how hard it's going to be is scary. But anything worth anything, you got to kind of have to work for it. So we'll see. But also the death. I don't want to say death match. I'll say hardcore match. Death match sounds like I don't want to do light tubes and some of the stuff I see CZW do. I'm like, I'm good. Like even ECW where they did the yeah. ropes with barbed wire. I'm like, I'm not running into barbed wire. No. I like my skin too much. Like, if you look at the guys from ECW, like their foreheads and their bodies are all scarred up. And I'm like, I really don't want that. I'm okay without that. So it would be either one time or once in a blue moon type of thing to do a hardcore match like that, even though I was such a fan as a kid.
Okay. So the next question that we like to ask, is your views kind of on intergender wrestling? Because we see it a ton on the indie scene. We love it on the indie scene. Do you think it makes its way more mainstream in the future? Like, we know Tessa Blanchard had her thing. We know on that other network with that other company, they hinted it at some matches with some people. But do you think it ever becomes a mainstream thing, or do you think that's going to be something that is just kind of only embraced by the independent scene?
I don't see how it can't go mainstream, because mainstream always takes hints from the indies, because that's what becomes popular. Like, let's be honest, ECW is technically an indie company, and then it started getting more and more popular, and then what did that big company start doing? They started having matches like that, and then they bought out that ECW and they started doing those matches. So if there's enough like fanfare and the fans love it, like you can't deny what the fans want, because no matter what, the bookers and promoters want tickets sold. So if you're gonna sell an interest, or you're gonna book an interesting match that's gonna sell tickets, how are you gonna say no to that? So, and also nowadays it's not like the damsel in distress or like the girls are just managers. Like, and also in like the dojo, I was the only female in the dojo, so I only could train with men, and like I call them my dojo brothers, because now they look out for me, because they will, like, they are my brothers. Like, I would take a bullet for any one of them. But you kind of have to build your body up for that. Like, if you can handle a match with any guy, you can handle a match with any girl. So I don't know how it is on the male aspects. Like, I'm sure there's some males, like, who was lovely Disco Inferno, who doesn't believe in, like, it's an even fair match. Well, right. Until you get in the nose and you're start bleeding. Like, are you going to say, no, that didn't hurt because it came from a female? I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it is. Like, whatever. But look at somebody like Maria Manic. Maria Manic could easily beat the crap out of any guy. And she has. There's... Sure, you can go on YouTube and you can find plenty of videos of Maria beating the crap out of guys. So,
yeah,
I think it's an inevitable. In my opinion, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Like, it's starting to, and it may be taboo to some people, which I don't understand why. But it's going to go. It's my opinion. I don't see how it can't. I just don't see how it can't. I could be wrong. Everybody could be wrong, but I just don't see how. It's not going to happen. I think it has to someday.
Yeah, and hopefully so. I mean, but at the same time, I've always kind of felt like that's kind of one of those things that's just so, like, just indie wrestling that, like, it's kind of like a natural charm for indie wrestling. Like, this is our thing, and none of the mainstream companies will touch it. So it'll be interesting to see, because I would like to see more of it. I think Rey Mysterio versus The Big Show crushed any sort of, like, believability argument that anyone can throw out there. So, at this point, there's nothing else holding back, in my opinion. But who knows?
Yeah. Like, even look with Nia Jax with the Royal Rumble? I think it was a Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah, her and Ambrose.
And she had a spot with Orton and Rey as well. And are you going to tell me that Nia Jax can't go against Rey Mysterio? Because I'd call bullshit any day of the week with that. I'm not saying Mysterio is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, but Nia Jax has some size on him, so you can't say she wanted to be a formidable competitor with him, like just as much as anybody else bigger than Rey. So that's what I mean. Like, there's
absolutely
can't be like an app. Like, there's no black or white with this. Like, no, that absolutely is unbelievable. It's like, really? Because I'll give you a scenario where it is believable.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So at this point of the interview, we are at the lightning round. So I'm not going to count how many questions I have. Some are wrestling related. Some are not. If you have an opinion on them, feel free to say, I don't really care. That's fine. You wouldn't be the first one. But so we'll go down through. So the first one is, do you prefer Disney or DreamWorks?
Oh, crap. I can't remember the last movie I saw. So I'm just going to say DreamWorks, I guess. Oh,
okay. God,
I'm going to get in trouble. So, some of these answers probably. Go ahead.
All right. Next one. Pick two Women of Honor alumni or current wrestlers to be on your team in Nickelodeon's Global Guts. Who's going to win the Agra Crag with you?
Is that bad that I have no idea what Nickelodeon Global Guts is? What is that?
It's not. It was a game show in the 90s where like kids would like compete in sports activities, and at the end they tried to climb this big mountain to win a prize.
Okay. I'm going to pick Maria because me and Maria kind of have the same sense of humor and we curse like sailors, so I love her. But just for her strength, and if I can't do something, I feel like she could pick me up and push me over the edge or like put on the climbing a mountain, whatever you said, the mountain or wall. And then I want to say Mandy because me and Mandy make each other laugh hysterically. So, and Mandy scares the crap, like not scares the crap out of me, like she hides in corners and jumps out and scares me. So I'm sure she would do that during that match or during that show and she would make me laugh. So yeah, those would be my two, Maria and Mandy, the two M's, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. All right, next question. Does pineapple go on pizza?
Hell no. I don't eat fruit. That's another long story, but No. It's a fucking fruit. Sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to curse. I'm so sorry.
All right, yeah. This is not a PG show, so feel free.
All right,
Then you being from Philly, I have to ask the best pizza spot in Philly.
That's a tricky question. Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm not like a typical pizza person. My dad calls me the anti-Italian because tomatoes technically a fruit, and I don't, like I said, don't eat fruit. So I'm not a huge fan of like regular pizza unless I'm hungover. Then I love it, or drunk, which I shouldn't say that. But like white pizza, and I'm kind of a snob. I like truffle pizza, so it's like this fontina cheese, egg, and truffles. And ironically, there's a place in Philly. I think it's between South and Lombard on 2nd. It's called Stella Pizzeria. I know that sounds very like full of myself, but it's a Steven Starr restaurant. If you're from Philly, you know Steven Starr. He owns like half the restaurants of Philly, but he makes this amazing white pizza, and it's this truffle pizza. And I go there usually once every year, at least for my birthday. But oh my God, I can't think of like a regular spot for pizza. There's this place in the Northeast called, and I think there's some in Jersey, called Di Lorenzo's, and they make huge pies, and I think they're known for their Sicilian pie. So I'm going to say Di Lorenzo's for regular, normal pizza pie compared to my snobby pie.
Right. Not the snobbish pizza. All right. City or country that you most want to wrestle in?
Australia, for sure. I just want to go to Australia, but I feel like Australia is becoming a place. There's a lot of like talented wrestlers coming out of Australia, and I feel like that's going to be the new, like it was Japan, and I feel like England obviously you see all the English wrestlers like Will Ospreay kind of put that style of wrestling on the map, but even he, I think he started wrestling in Australia and he was saying how much talent's out there. So I would really love to go out there and see their style of wrestling.
Very nice. So you're actually the first person to say Australia, so that's cool to hear. Do you have
I just have a love for that country, so that's also purely selfish. I want to go to Australia.
Fair enough. Do you have a favorite sport to watch outside of wrestling?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh my God, what sport do I watch? Well, I'm not technically allowed to watch Philly sports teams by my family because they think I'm a jinx, so I can only watch replays. so usually like hockey and football I'll watch on TV. Like, yeah, I don't think there's anything I really watch on TV because I feel like I'm just not allowed to. I'd rather see it live. Like, Phillies games, I can't watch on TV. I feel like they go way too slow, but going to the ballpark and like drinking and hanging out, like, what am I talking about? Tailgating in the parking lot. So, yeah, I can watch anything live, but on TV, I feel like football and hockey are way more. And also hockey, there's fighting. So, yeah, I'm going to say hockey. I'm a violent person, so I like hockey.
All right, fair enough. Style of music that is most on your playlist?
I just realized I watch UFC like every single week. So that's a lie. I watch UFC all the time. So take that back. I watch UFC. I just realized I'm like, you watch UFC all the time. Style of music I listen to all the time. Is that what you said?
Or the most?
The most. Oh God, I have a weird eclectic taste. It all depends on the mood I'm in. So on my workout list, I would say that's what, like, I have to be in a certain mindset. I kind of have to be like angry because I just, unless nobody likes working out. If you do, I think you're a psychopath. so it's usually like rock or metal or like rap and hip hop because I just feel like cursing or screaming when I'm working out because I just feel like I want to beat somebody up. So in order for me to get in that mode, I need like the music. But I listen to country. I listen to like old 50s music, like doo-wop and folk. I don't know. Listen to everything.
Kind of all over the place. Okay.
Yeah, but more than likely, it'll be rock or hip hop that I'm listening to.
All right. You and four wrestlers have to band together to defeat an evil clown that is terrorizing your hometown. What four wrestlers are you choosing to battle with you?
All right. The first name that came to my mind is Shaheem Ali because he's like my big brother. And I don't know why. I just feel like he would have a game plan for it. Like, just the way his mind works, I feel like he would have, like, this, I don't know, like, this, he's like, oh, I already know the scenario. I knew it was going to happen one day, so this is what we're going to do. Shaheem Ali, oh, my God, I don't know, like, I need four? All right, Ali, Maria, because again, Maria, I just feel like would just intimidate them, or just she would be the muscle. Ollie would be the brain. Sumi, because I feel like Sumi would false them into thinking how nice they are, and she would like break everybody's arms and necks. God, who else? I'm trying to think of somebody like random. Oh, God, I don't know. I'll say Burger, because Burger is like the dojo leader. So he's a head trainer, so I'm going to say him, because I feel like he might be the wits of us.
I'm kind of glad you threw Burger in at the end. I was hoping he would make it.
I feel like if I didn't, he'd be like, what the hell? Because I'm trying to think of how Burger would be in that situation, because Burger does play a lot of video games, so he would probably, and so does Ali, so maybe those two would be really good. So, yeah. Yeah, those will be by four.
All right, perfect. All right.
And look at that, that's intergender, and I didn't even mean to do that. Two girls and two guys. So in a life and death situation for the world, you can't tell me intergender is not happening when I think of two guys and two girls.
All right, just a couple more questions here in this round. So the best show that you've recently binged on Netflix?
Oh, God. Is it bad that I'm going back to like old shows because I'm so pissed off with shows nowadays? I watched You. I loved the first season. The second season, I was like, meh. But I just started rewatching. I rewatched Sons of Anarchy, and then I cut it off at a certain season because I knew when that all that stuff starts going downhill and it's not happy anymore. And then True Blood, I literally have become re-obsessed with it where I can't wait. I will only watch it right before bed. I don't know why, because I'm weird. Because I like it being dark watching a TV show about vampires. I'm a weird person. I don't know. But I don't know why. I like the violent shows. So Sons of Anarchy, if you don't know, both those shows are very violent and pretty bloody. But yeah, I binged the Tiger King when that came out because that was just white trash grandiose that I love every part of it. Yeah, no, I'm going back to old school.
I was going to say. All right, fair enough. All right, so are you team Marvel or team DC?
I want to say Marvel. Like, I like Wonder Woman, but I just think Marvel is more badass, like, overall. Yeah. You can't. It's the Avengers. Like, every movie was good for them, so.
Right. All right, and so now the last question is our seasonal question. So, unfortunately, you did miss the Easter candy question. So, the next one is going to be our Memorial Day cookout. So, you're inviting three wrestlers to your Memorial Day cookout. Who's on the grill? Who's bringing drinks? And who's bringing dessert?
Oh, God. Okay. Drinks, grill, dessert. Drinks is Jay Briscoe. Because if anybody has hung out with Jay Briscoe in real life, they know how fun he is. Grill. Who do I know that cooks well? I don't know anybody that cooks well. Burger cooks for us all the time, so I would kind of have to say I am going to say Burger, because if you ever want to know where to eat in any state, city, or country, Burger is the person to go to, because he literally knows the best places to eat, and he always cooks at home. So I'm going to say Burger's on the grill. Jay's bringing the drinks. Who's bringing dessert? God almighty. I'm trying to think of who else is like a fat ass like me that loves sweets. Oh, Ali. Ali is obsessed with milkshake, so Ali will know any dessert. I'm sorry I keep picking the same people. It was the same between him and Mandy, because I know Mandy, I think, likes to bake too. But anybody knows Ali knows he is obsessed with milkshakes, that no matter where we are on the road, if there's a cookout, he goes and orders four milkshakes. Four. And those things are... So, yeah, I'm going to say Ali is bringing the desserts for sure.
All right, perfect. All right, and then so our last question of the night is our other stereotypical wrestling podcast question, but it's the dream match question. We just kind of put a little bit of a spin on it. So aside from picking your dream match opponent, you can pick the style of match. You can pick the venue as well. So if you want to wrestle Buell and McGillicuddy in a ladder match at 2300 Arena, so be it. But what would be your dream match?
Oh, so you just threw that out. I had one, and then I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that. My dream match was always, and I can never say her name right because I'm a horrible person. Io Shirai. How do you say her? I can't say. Io Shirai. She was in.
Io Shirai.
Is it Io? I've been pronouncing it wrong for so many years. And Berger always laughs at me every time I pronounce it, and he always corrects me, and I still pronounce it wrong. But when she was in Stardom, I watched all of her matches and just thought she was insane. So I always wanted to do a match with her and I can't even say that correctly. God. Oh my God. I have a speech impediment. It's horrible. Why am I not? I thought I was saying it right, and then I second guessed myself. Oh my God. Kurikan? No, it's not that. Oh my God. I could spell it, but I can't say it. But it's the infamous, arena in Japan. But now that you said the ECW, I'm trying to think of anybody that's like hardcore that I would want to go with. I don't have a dream match, like opponent for ECW, but I have a dream match to have a hardcore match in the ECW arena. So, yeah, those are my two. Since I made a fool of myself, mispronouncing everything.
Fair enough. Not a problem. All right, so then before we let you go for the night, would you like to give all of our guests kind of the floor is yours? So plug your social media. If you have any events in the far out future that haven't been canceled yet, go ahead and plug those too. But or anything else that we might have missed along the way, but just kind of take the time to promote yourself before we let you go here for the night.
Okay. Well, on Twitter, I think Twitter and Instagram are the same name. It's @StellaGray215. Facebook, it's just Stella Gray. I don't have any match. I think everybody, or not everybody, but everything has been canceled for the unforeseeable future. So unfortunately, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I don't know of anything coming up, but I'm ready to get back in the ring. I'm not going to say, but I hired a wrestler to be my personal trainer. I don't know if that person wants me to say it out loud, so I'm not going to say it, but because I have taken a long break after my car accident, and I'm just dying to get back in. So hoping to get back even bigger and better, and hopefully in even better shape than I was. So hopefully it'll be soon. I hope all of us will be enjoying wrestling live again soon, because as much as the fans miss it, the wrestlers miss it even more and miss it being in front of everybody.
Absolutely. So we'll make sure that we're sharing your social media so that when you do make those announcements, they are at the forefront. But thank you again so much for being with us tonight. It was an absolute pleasure. And we hope to see you back in the ring, obviously, soon. We'll see when the pandemic allows that to be, but we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah. Let's hope it's sooner than later.
Absolutely.